chapter 8, just the first four verses here. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." And that's our reading here in Matthew 8. We pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we've often heard of Jesus being the good physician. We know that he is able to heal, but why does he choose to heal in the manner and the time in which he does? We know that Jesus had the ability. He could have simply said the word, waved his arms, and healed every single disease in the entire land. But he doesn't do that. Added to this, when Jesus performs his miracles, he would often take the person who is receiving the miracle into a secret place, into a hidden place, so that people wouldn't see it. Why would Jesus perform his miracles in this way? Why doesn't he first gather a crowd so that they can now all see? I think our human nature is inclined to want people to be witnesses to great things. That's why we all have our phones out when these great things are taking place. We want to have a testament, a proof that we were present when something great happened, to catch people doing great things. We want other people to know that we were there and we saw it. We can testify to it. But Jesus doesn't work this way. That's because the healing ministry of Jesus Christ has a deeper purpose and reason. His healing ministry is to authenticate his teaching, to strengthen the faith of those who are present. His healing was to verify his message. Jesus Christ is not healing in order to dazzle, but to prove that his words are true and to strengthen the faith of his people. In this specific context, as Jesus has just finished his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, as he comes down the mountains, he meets this man with leprosy. And once again, as Jesus performs this miracle, we're going to catch a glimpse at the heart of Jesus Christ. What kind of teacher is he? He is a teacher not like the teachers of the nations. He teaches with power and authority. What kind of Savior is he? He is one that is compassionate and merciful, that merciful high priest who has compassion on those who are. Consider this theme. Jesus Christ heals the leper as an act of mercy to prove his power. It's an act of mercy to prove his power. And our first point then, we consider the pressing need that this leper has. Now, when we think of skin diseases, we tend to see them as treatable and mostly an inconvenience. For example, no one likes to have ringworm or eczema, but these things can be treated with topical creams or some steroid. They can be solved. They can be fixed. But this man has an incurable leprosy. Now, leprosy is a term that is used to describe a broad range of various types of skin diseases, from rashes to what is called today Hansen disease. The most serious forms of leprosy would be evident in lesions that would form on your skin, red spots or white spots following with decayed flesh, nerve damage, loss of limb, and eventual death. It was incredibly painful and did not have any known cure at this time. It was fatal. But before it was fatal, it would cause great alienation, separation. Because leprosy would be spread by close contact to other people. In order to spare other people from catching the disease that you had to keep at a distance. You couldn't live in your own home inside the city. You had to live in a tent outside the city. And added to that, you had to cover yourself in bandages. You had to have, as it were, a mask over your face. And you had to cry out wherever you went, "Unclean, unclean, stay away, keep your distance. You don't want what I have." So those who had leprosy were removed from society. Not only removed from their family and friends, but removed from the temple or the tabernacle. They couldn't go to worship. You remember that during the pandemic, how awful it was when you couldn't go to family gatherings and you couldn't go to worship? That's what their life was. Separation, division, removed from society because this disease is so severe and would spread. But leprosy is not just a physical disease. It is a picture of a deeper spiritual truth. What does sin do? Sin makes us unclean. Sin leads to separation, to division, to hostility. Sin making us unclean because we are sick, we are polluted, we are outcast, we are spiritually unwell. That's what we are in our sins. And yet this outsider who was cast out, separated, comes to Jesus Christ, and what does he do? He comes to Jesus in verse 2, and he kneels before him. He prostrates himself. He falls on his face. What does this leper do? He comes and worships. Before he asks for healing, he acknowledges who Jesus Christ is. The request for healing comes from a heart of faith. He comes to Jesus knowing that Jesus is the only one who can help. He calls him Lord, Master, Owner, the one to whom I belong. And although the crowds are marveling at the words of Jesus, this is back in 7 verse 28, They're saying, wow, this guy teaches in a way that's so different from our current teachers. It is this man who is an outcast who comes to Jesus in faith. Not just marveling at the great words of this great teacher. He comes to Jesus Christ in faith, kneeling before him and calling him Lord. And then he makes the request. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Lord, if you will. Lord, I know you can, but if you will, you can make me clean. You not only can heal my body, Lord, you can restore my soul. You can make what is wrong right. You can take away not only this disease that is wrecking my body, you can remove this hindrance that is dividing me from my family, from my friends, and from the communion of the saints. This man is asking, make my body whole, make my life whole, bring me home, Lord, if you are willing. Now, there is a difference between ability and desire. And I think that sometimes gets at the heart of our struggle. This really challenges, this is one of the challenges that our faith faces. Because we know Jesus is, doubt comes to test what our faith believes. Sometimes we doubt if Jesus is really able to help. We face situations that are so seemingly insurmountable, we question, I'm not sure God can actually fix this. I'm not sure Jesus can actually make what is wrong right. I'm not sure Jesus has the ability to fix this broken relationship or to fix what's wrong with my body. Or the flip side is, I'm not sure he desires to do this. Either Jesus lacks the power or he lacks the desire, the will to do it. Do we sometimes doubt God's love or doubt his power? When we pray asking God to heal, to forgive, to restore, do we really believe that he is able and willing to do that which he has promised to do? But to the question of Jesus' ability and desire, in our text, Jesus gives the affirmation. Jesus says, yes, I am both willing and able, as verse 3 says. But notice that this man comes not only in faith, but what kind of faith does he have? He has humble faith. He says, if you are willing. He says, I know you can do this, Lord. It's not a question of ability. It's a question of your sovereign will. And I'm going to submit myself to that will. I'm going to make the request with faith. But I'm not sure if you are going to give me what I ask, because I know your ways are not my ways. I'm going to submit myself to your will. So he, as it were, prays, not my will, your will be done. The leper will submit to Jesus Christ in faith whether or not the leper is healed. Do you see that? Regardless of the answer to this request, this man believes. Because his request of faith is a request of humble, submissive faith. You see, we should not put contingencies on our faith. I will believe in God only if he does this. Only if he gives me the thing that I ask for. Because sometimes the things that we ask for in prayer are not what we should be asking for. Or sometimes there is a greater purpose or design that is at work here that we may not yet see. Sometimes the answer to our prayer is no, or not yet. This man is going to believe regardless of the answer. Lord, I believe. If it's your will, Lord, heal me. It's a humble, confident faith. I know you're able. I will submit. Here in Matthew, we find the first recorded miracle of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture of love and compassion. As I said before, the first recorded miracle in Matthew. We find his ability and his willingness. He has the desire to do the work that he is called to do because he is compassionate, merciful, faithful high priest. The good physician is moved by the suffering of his patient. And Jesus reaches out his hand and touches the leper. Now, don't let the significance of this contact pass you over. Now, we don't know how long he had leprosy. It's not revealed in this particular passage. But this is the first time this man has been touched for a long time. Remember, he has to go around, his body covered in bandages, crying out to everyone, stay away, beware, unclean, don't come near me. And then Jesus lovingly puts out his hand and touches this man. Lovingly embracing this outcast of society. Now, what would normally happen, according to Levitical law, if you touch an unclean person, that uncleanliness of that unclean person would be transferred to the person who touches them. So what should happen, according to Levitical law, is that Jesus now becomes unclean. Because Jesus is touching someone who is unclean. But that's not what happens. Jesus is so powerful that the cleanliness of Jesus, his power, makes this one who was unclean to be clean. Jesus purifies this man by his presence because Jesus has supreme power over disease, darkness, and death. This miracle proves the fact of who Jesus is, and it gives us a little glimpse of what we can look forward to. What we find here in Jesus Christ and his healing ministry gives us a little picture of what God's people have to look forward to on that great and final day. When Jesus Christ comes back on the clouds of glory, when he calls his people up to that great trumpet call and before the great white throne, when he resurrects our bodies, the bodies that will be resurrected will be bodies where there is no sickness, no weakness, no disease, no impurity, no leprosy, and no death. This healing is just a small little picture of what Jesus Christ will bring on that last day. For this man came to Jesus unclean and left Jesus clean. He came an outcast, now welcomed in society. He came decayed, and he left whole. For this man, meeting Jesus meant that he was granted access, welcomed into his family, welcomed into his home, and welcomed to the temple. Because that's the heart of Jesus Christ. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I am gentle and lowly in heart. I'm compassionate. I will lift up you who are broken. I will heal all your diseases. I will restore you, and I will make you whole. This, brothers and sisters, is the same Jesus we worship today. This is not just a Jesus found in Matthew chapter 8. It's the same Jesus sitting at his Father's right hand in glory to whom we pray today. So Jesus, the merciful and miraculous healer, makes this man whole by the touch of his hand. Now, we might think that this is a newsworthy event. I mean, we could imagine the newspaper or something like this, a local Nazarene heals leper. It was a sign that Jesus has power, has authority, and that the kingdom of God was at hand. But if this sign is a testimony of who Jesus Christ is and the authority of his word, why would Jesus say to this man, "Don't tell anyone"? That's what we find in verse 4. "See that you say nothing to anyone." Jesus will say the same thing in Matthew 9, verse 30, and again in Matthew 12, verse 16. "Don't tell anyone. Don't reveal this. See that no one knows what I have done." Why would Jesus seek to conceal a great miracle like this? Well, there's at least three reasons why Jesus would conceal this matter for the time being. The first reason that Jesus wanted to conceal this miracle had to do with the nature of the crowd. We have just finished the Sermon on the Mount. Large crowds are following him out of the mountains. And Jesus is aware of the crowd's mentality that has been following him. Jesus knows that this group is particularly susceptible to groupthink hysteria. Jesus does not want this crowd whipped up into a frenzy because he knows if this crowd had seen and heard what Jesus Christ had done, they would likely have forced Jesus to become their king. We find the same thing in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, the crowds take Jesus, as it were, to force him to be their king. Now, the kind of king they wanted Jesus to be would be a political king, someone to throw out the Romans. They wanted a kind of king who would heal all their diseases, their physical diseases. They want a kind of king who would give them daily bread. I mean, how convenient would that be if we had a king who would be able to heal all your sicknesses and give you free food? That's the kind of king that they wanted. They had seen, they had the earthly eyes to see only the physical benefits that Jesus Christ would bring here and now. What kind of king were they looking for? A political, earthly king. They did not see the spiritual work that Jesus Christ was here working. So Jesus Christ, in order to hinder the crowds from being whipped up into a frenzy, told this man to not spread the word. They would misunderstand the purpose of Jesus' work, and they would misunderstand the nature of his kingdom. As Luke 4 says, Jesus came to preach the gospel to those who were poor, and yet the crowds would not want Jesus to spend his time preaching. They would want Jesus to spend his time healing. The second reason why Jesus Christ would forbid this man from spreading the news had to do with Jesus Christ would be hindered from doing his work of preaching in that the crowds would be crushing him in order to receive healing. I want to read a few verses from Mark 1. If you want to turn with me to a parallel passage here in Mark 1. Mark 1 at verse 44. So we find a parallel passage. Jesus cleansed the leper. We'll start at verse 43. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. So what happens here, we find in a parallel passage, is that when this man goes out and speaks freely of this miracle that Jesus Christ had come, the crowds looking for a miracle, looking for healing, were going to be pressing in upon Jesus, and that would hinder Jesus' ability to go out to the towns and the groups of people. He was forced into desolate, isolated places because the crowds were trampling upon Jesus in order to have healing. Now, we can understand this. If you have someone in your friends or family circle who is struggling with some health, a sickness, or some disease, wouldn't you want healing? Wouldn't you take your beloved one to go see Jesus? So Jesus' entire time was going to be spent healing, and he could no longer go into groups, large groups or crowds of people, because the needy crowds would hinder his work, constantly asking for healing or for miracles. That's the second reason. The third reason why Jesus would forbid this man from speaking to the crowds had to do with the time of this healing. This is very early in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, very early in his public ministry. Jesus Christ was just at the beginning stages of his public ministry, and this life was still firmly in the humiliation stage. John 7, verse 6 puts it like this: Jesus' time has not yet come. Jesus has 3 years of ministry to be done before he would receive the praise of the crowds, which would take place on Palm Sunday. Much more teaching needed to take place. Many other miracles needed to be performed all before Passion Week could arise. So it had to do with the timing of this particular miracle early in his ministry, that he tells this man to keep the information under his hat for the time being. Now we know, as we read here in Mark, that he does not obey. He's too excited. He spreads the news. And as a result, Jesus Christ is no longer able to go to the crowds or to the cities, but is forced to go to the desolate places. So after this man is healed and told not to share the news with anyone, he was, however, told to share the news with one particular group, or to go and show himself to one particular group. In other words, to go and show himself to the priest. So why would Jesus say to this man, "Don't tell anyone about what has just taken place, but go and tell the priest. Go and show yourself to the priest"? Well, here Jesus Christ is going to prove that he is Lord of the Sabbath and that he has power even over the ceremonial laws, and yet he's going to submit to the laws for the sake of righteousness. Going to the priest would not make this man clean. The priest had no power to heal someone who had leprosy. However, when someone had been healed, they were to go to the priest in order to get a stamp of approval, as it were, before they would be reinstated in society. We read this from Leviticus 14. It was necessary to go to the priest in order before they could be welcomed back into their family, into their friends, and also into the temple. Going to the priest would get their stamp of approval, proving that he was in fact clean and should be welcomed in society. So it was necessary for this man's sake to go to the priest in order to get their approval before entering society. The second reason why he was to go to the priest is to be a sign to the priest. Now, the priests at this particular time were very suspicious of Jesus Christ. They were known for being rebellious, and many of the priests were taking advantage of the people. They were going through the motions without showing true piety. They had made the house of the Lord a den of robbers instead of a place of prayer. The arrival of this healed man to the priest would force them to acknowledge that God was still present and he was working. Miracles being performed in society would perhaps soften hard hearts, that God had not forgotten his people. These priests would be able to testify that God was present and working. It is interesting to note that in Acts chapter 6, we find, this is after Pentecost, Acts chapter 6, that many of the Jewish priests would in fact come to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. So maybe, perhaps, Jesus Christ is setting the groundwork, as it were, to prove his identity to the priests so that down the road they would come to acknowledge him as their Savior and Lord. You'll remember in a reading from Leviticus 14, there is a ritual that would be performed before there would be restoration. The priest could not take away this leprosy, but they would acknowledge that this leprosy had been taken away. The cleansing of the ceremonial rituals and signs given to us in the Old Testament did not cure from leprosy. We find the same thing with blood of bulls and goats. They cannot take away our sins. Only God's power, only God's Son has the ability to heal and to save. So the priest would be forced to acknowledge that there was a greater and a higher power present here in Israel. Who is this man that can heal leprosy? Who is this one that can make the polluted clean? So the groundwork is being laid that someone greater than the law had come, someone even greater than the temple itself. To conclude, with this miraculous healing, Jesus Christ is making a bold statement. Matthew 8 records the first miracle Jesus performed in Matthew. And by this miracle, the unholy, unclean outcast is turned into a clean, welcomed child of Israel by a compassionate Savior, one who is gentle and lowly, merciful, and our compassionate high priest, one who is both able and willing to save. In this, Jesus shows his love in both word and deed, embracing the outcast and making them a son of the kingdom. So when it comes to our need for washing, not just our need for physical cleansing, but being washed from the filth in our souls, we need to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is willing and able to cleanse our guilty souls and to purify our defiled bodies. Jesus is willing and he is able. Come to him by faith and be clean. The division that sin has caused, removing you from God and from God's people, can be taken away by him, and he will bring you home. Amen. Our Father,